When you guys pray, what do you think about? You know, what do you picture? What do you picture in your mind? You know, what do you picture God to be like? Do you picture Him, or do you picture Jesus in a white robe with little baby lambs around Him, like in the baby storybooks, with the staff? Or do you picture God as like a gray-haired old man, like some of the movies have Him? Or do you not really have a picture at all? You just kind of speak to Him. I want to show you guys what John saw when he actually went to the throne of God. I'm reading Revelation 4, if you guys want to turn there. And I want you guys to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Close your eyes. And as I read these words that John used to describe the presence of God, I want you to try to imagine every single word, okay? All right, close your eyes. He says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had a face like a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns down before Him, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created.'" You can open up your eyes. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? His skin was more like diamonds and rubies than flesh. Those beings around Him never ceased to say, "Holy, holy, holy." That's all they were there for, to praise God and His goodness and how holy He was. And I want to ask you, do you think about how mighty God is before you come before His presence? Because when we pray, that's what we're doing. We're not just throwing words up there. We're coming before that throne of God. We're not just talking to Him, we're coming before His throne. When you pray, are you in complete awe of Him? That you're coming before the Creator of the universe, the One that knows you inside and out, the One that created you, the One that knows what you're going to say before you even say it, the One who gave up His Son on that cross so that we could have a relationship with Him. The One who loves us so much, do you think about that before you come into His presence? Or do you rush into His presence and start asking Him for a ton of things? "God, I want this. How come it isn't like this? God, I want a nicer house. God, I want this. I want that." When you sing, when we sing to God, are you singing to Him? Are you praising His almighty name? Or are you just throwing up a bunch of words because it's become a routine? Sang that song 10 times. I don't have to memorize the words. I know them. I'll just sing and I'll think about something else. When you give, are you proud that you gave that much? Are you saying, "Okay, I helped God out. God better be glad I gave Him that much"? Are you getting proud that you're such a giving person when in all reality no one can ever outgive God? When we have an accurate picture of God, it changes things. We pray differently, we act differently, and we should live differently. with a real fear and understanding of how mighty God is. That being said, doesn't it seem stupid to leave church early to get to a football game or to go home and eat lunch and to rush out the door? I want you guys to think about this too. If you knew that after this service you were going to die and come before God, what would you do? Would you be in the back falling asleep, texting, drawing, whispering to your friends? Would you be thinking about who's playing in the game tonight and what you're going to have for lunch? I would hope not. You would hopefully be repenting of your sins, falling down on your knees and worshiping Him, knowing that you would come before Him in any second. So let me ask you, why don't we have that attitude when we come to church, when we live out our everyday lives? Tomorrow isn't guaranteed. The next 5 minutes isn't guaranteed. I've heard in other sermons that pastors have died preaching. We don't know that when we go home, when we're on our way home, we could die. I'm not trying to be morbid. That's just realistic. If you guys all knew my dad, he was gone in a second. Don't say, well, that won't happen to me. You don't know. Shouldn't we be living as if we're going to come before that God at any second? Think about it. And speaking on worship, do you come here hoping that God is pleased with your worship? That what you're doing and saying is pleasing to Him? Or do you come in with a consumer mindset, thinking, I hope there's a good sermon today, or I hope we sing songs that I actually like, or I hope Miss Iris is playing the piano because somebody I don't like everybody else that does it, or I hope she plays good songs or all this other stuff. Do you come in with a consumer mindset, I want it to be good for me, I want to enjoy it, I want to enjoy the entertainment, I want it to be fun? Our goal shouldn't be to come in here and have that mindset. Our goal should be that when God looks down on us, He would see our worship and say, no, that's good. That pleases me. My people love me. They're worshiping me. Bottom line is that God doesn't always like our worship or our gatherings. Like it says in Amos, when God didn't like the singing, worship, and religious festivals that the people were having because He didn't see justice and righteousness in them. God deserves our best, and that's what we should be giving Him. It can be easy for things to become routine, though, can it? We hear the same message preached over and over again, and it doesn't have the same effect as it did the first time, right? Oh, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And you get really excited, like, yeah, Jesus is coming. And the 15th time you've heard that sermon, you're like, yeah, Jesus is coming. All right, who's playing? Oh, okay. And it becomes a routine. It doesn't have the same effect. That's kind of the same thing that happened in Malachi. The people have heard for years, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. Over and over and over, and it started to get routine. They still worshiped and gave offerings, but their hearts weren't as into it. They started to backslide, and sin. They got comfortable with the way things were. They weren't giving God their best. If you want to turn to Malachi chapter 1. Starting at verse 6, going to 6 to 9. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as sacrifice, is it not evil? When you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept your favorably? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Okay, so they're like, okay, there's a sheep that keeps running into things, bah, and it keeps running into trees. Let's give him that one. Or the one with three legs hopping around. Let's give God that one and keep the best for ourselves. And they're going, okay, let's sacrifice to the Lord. And God's looking down saying, are you kidding me? You're going to give me that? You wouldn't even give that to your governor. You wouldn't even give that to a human being, yet you're going to sacrifice that to me? God? It doesn't make sense. God says, I know what you keep for yourselves. I know how much money you make. I know how you spend your time. You're just going to give me that. Your leftovers. And this is what we do to God. I know y'all are like, why did he bring bread? I will try not to make a big mess. All right, say this bread's our finances. And we're like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you. All right. Well, got to have car insurance. Got to pay my bills for my house. Got to have TV. Got to go to the movies. I got to eat. I got to pay for a game. Okay, here, God. That's what we do to God. And it's crazy, right? I shouldn't have eaten as much bread. Hold on. Just stare at the crust for a second. God, don't let me choke. Okay, that's what we do to God. We take everything for ourselves and then we give him what's left over. And it's crazy. And what's crazier is that people think that God's going, ooh, cool. Oh, there's still some bread left on it. We think that he likes our leftovers, that that's acceptable to him. We do things for ourselves first. We spend time on ourselves first, and then we give the rest to God, right? We spend so much time with our family and our work, and in my case, schoolwork. Especially my brother, he's got AP homework, so he's working, writing a ton of stuff. And it's not bad things we spend our time on, right? They're all good things. But when it comes to the end of the day and we spend all of our time on ourselves and other things, and 2 minutes before we fall asleep, we'll say, okay, God, I'll pray to you. Jesus, thank you. Go to bed. And we think God's going down, oh, good job. Thank you for noticing me today. Thank you for acknowledging me for 1 second. And we think that's pleasing to him. We think that God's happy that we just acknowledge him. We go to verse 10. God says, who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. God's saying, I would rather someone shut and lock the doors than for you to come in and do that. I'd rather you not show up at all than for you to bring me that. So many times we think God's pleased with our leftovers. Well, I'm a busy person. God should be glad that I just showed up. God should be glad that I gave that much. But he's not. When we give God our leftovers, he's not happy. Why? Look at verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. He says, I'm a great God. I deserve the absolute best. You guys, people are willing to lose their lives for God. I don't know if you've been watching the news lately, but our brothers and sisters all over the world are getting killed for their faith. They're getting crucified. They're getting murdered. Their houses are being burned down. They're getting slaughtered for their faith in God. And the biggest thing is, they're okay with it. They said, I would rather follow God than convert. I would rather follow what I know is true than do something else. And the church in China, the underground church, I don't know if you've heard a lot about it, it's underground, they have to hide, and they worship together. And when they get Bibles, they are so excited. But then when we read our Bible, it's nothing new. It's, all right, time to read. But they're jumping for joy. They're praising God that they finally got a Bible. And I've heard stories from other pastors talking about it, saying that one pastor went to China and he talked to people and he was asking, well, how are you dealing with the persecution? And one of them, they were happy about it. They said, no, we're actually being persecuted for God. I don't care. I'm serving God. I'm worshiping God. They're willing to do anything to worship their God. They won't let anything stop them from worshiping. Death threats? I don't care. Go ahead. Kill me. Go ahead. Do whatever you want. I'm going to worship God. Then you look at the American church. You know what will stop us from worshiping? Rain. Not death threats or fear of being kidnapped. No fear of houses being burned down and families killed. Just a little bit of rain or fog or no air conditioning, uncomfortable seats, not good enough music, or the service is too long. The list goes on and on. When you honestly think about it, does that make sense to you? Does it really make sense to you? More importantly, do you think God is looking at it and saying, ooh, well done? Do we give Him our leftovers? Do we really get how holy and great God is and how He deserves every bit of praise we can give Him? That's why we live. That's why we're here. That's why we come to church, to worship Him, to give Him the praise and honor that He so rightfully deserves. And when we do that, God says He's going to bless us. God says He's going to open the floodgates of heaven and pour out more blessings than we could ever imagine, more than we could take. In Malachi 3:10, God says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. God wants to bless us. God wants us to give Him our absolute best. This isn't about works or trying harder. This is just about realizing that God deserves our best. We should be on fire for Him and ready to do anything for our God. The God who saved us while we were yet sinners. The God who remains faithful even while we are faithless. The one who sent His Son and watched His Son being killed so that He could have a relationship with us. The one that in our time of need and no one else is there, we call out to God and God says, here I am. The God who wants to work in you and wants you to come before Him at the end and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that? At the end of the day, when you come before God, don't you want to hear that? Doesn't that surpass every joy we could ever imagine on earth? That the Creator of the universe, knows you, loves you, and is welcoming you into His kingdom. Guys, let's live for that every day. Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank You for who You are, and I thank You for Your Son, Jesus. I ask You to be with everyone here, God, and as we leave this place, God, help us have the mindset that You want us to have, God. Help us continually give You the praise that You deserve, God. And help us know that nothing in this world is in any comparison as great as You are, God. Help us live for You. God, work in and through us, God, to help us serve You each and every day. In Your Son's great holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.